and welcome back to the Pinstripe Alley podcast. I'm Andrew Mearns. Kun Shaw is with me over there. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you doing?
Doing all right. Got the pitchers and catchers finally reporting today after this long, strange winter. So that's kind of nice.
I guess it's starting to feel like, you know, real baseball, but who knows?
Yeah. So we're getting a little bit closer to it anyway, right? And, yeah. You know, even though pitchers and catchers, this always feels very anticlimactic because not a lot is happening at the time.
It's just like literally just showing up. Congratulations.
Yeah, you got they're here. You might get some beat writers taking some very fuzzy photos from like 100 yards away. So
those fuzzy photos are always the best.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I think I can make out Giancarlo Stanton's bicep in there. Yeah.
It's like, ooh, look at that.
I'd recognize that bicep anywhere.
I'll never forget there was one time that someone took this very terrible photo of like Michael Pineda standing behind a hedge or something like that. It's like, okay, yep, that's him, I guess. You got the shot.
Cool. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Vital.
Now let's write 1,500 words on this picture.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of former Yankees, we're going to talk about Justin Wilson because he is no longer a former Yankee. He is now a current Yankee again.
Wilson!
And this concludes our analysis, so I hope you appreciated that.
Yes, Tom Hanks will be joining us shortly to give us his take on this.
Yeah, you'd be surprised at how many connections the Pinstripe Alley podcast has. We have Hanks on speed dial. I'll send him a tweet and we'll let you know.
Don't worry, he's already listening. He's the first person who downloads the podcast every week.
Oh, you know what? You're right. Yeah, I'm sorry, Tom. I shouldn't be underestimating you.
Yes, exactly.
But anyway, Justin Wilson, it was a move that I think they needed to make to get another decent reliever into the mix.
No, I definitely like it. I mean, he pitched well when he was here. I think he was traded to Detroit, right? That's when we got Luis Sessa and Chad Green.
Yeah,
so like, I kind of don't like him because he's part of the reason why Luis Sessa's on the team. But if he comes back, maybe that means Luis Sessa's gone.
But he also brought Chad Green to the team, which was very good.
This is true. So. Chad Green has been great.
Yeah.
No, it's a good move. He's been like, you know, he's not like a flashy, like top tier, best reliever in the league type bullpen pitcher. But that's not what they needed. They just needed somebody who can go out there and not freaking lose the game for them.
Yeah.
And just be another reliable piece. And so I like the move. I mean, that's what they needed.
Yeah. When you already have like three pretty good pieces toward the end of the game, and then you can ask your Justin Wilsons and your Darren O'Days to get these middle innings, which are so important now with starters going fewer and fewer innings these days. So that really leaves a lot of outs to get in the sixth and the seventh that you don't really want to be always asking your Zach Britton's and your Chad Green's to be getting. So
right.
These just good, solid relievers like Darren O'Day and Justin Wilson, those are the kind of guys you need to get you to the next level.
And then Darren O'Day and Justin Wilson, those are the type of relievers who like, yeah, you don't want them like pitching high leverage innings maybe every day or whatever. Obviously, you don't want any reliever pitching every day. But like when you don't have to Britton or Chad Green or even, I guess, Chapman available, you know you have Justin Wilson, Darren O'Day in the back of the bullpen who can, you know, maybe come in, get that save for you today or whatever it is that you're not just throwing. Again, sorry, Luis Sessa's family, who's probably listening to this and hating me, but you're not throwing Luis Sessa out there in a high leverage situation, so you're good.
Yeah, and like this is something that the Yankees were really missing last season with Tommy Canley after the season, because he had provided such a good bridge to those late innings in the previous couple of years. So I don't know that I'd necessarily put O'Day or Wilson up to the kind of level Canley could be at his best, but they're a pretty close approximation, I think.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's like they're probably that tier right below where Canley is. And Canley's probably propelled by his thighs.
Yeah, yeah.
Neither of them have his thighs, so, you know.
Definite advantage for TK there.
Where did he land? Is he in the Dodgers? Did I make that up?
Yeah, no, he signed a 2-year deal with the Dodgers so that he could rehab from Tommy John this year. And right. Then hopefully 2022 he'll do something for him. So that was good for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Always good when you can get the team to get, you know, to sign somewhere with the rehab and then just take a chance on you for the year coming back.
Exactly.
It's pretty much the standard for Tommy John surgery at this point.
Yeah, Ken Giles signed a deal like that too. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, Wilson, I mean, there's not really a lot for us to say here. It's just a good, smart move. We'll add our token complaints about how the Yankees could still be doing a lot more to help pitching if they really wanted to. But, you know, in their own self-constrained payroll limits, I guess this is what makes sense the most.
It is interesting, though, because, I mean, a few people have brought this up, like, with the whole payroll thing. Like, they did give him a $4 million deal, so they're very close to that self-imposed tax threshold. I mean, it's not self-imposed. I mean, it does exist, but, like, the fact that they're limiting themselves to it. So I'm very curious to see if there's any other moves out there or whatever, because it doesn't give them a lot of wiggle room. And, you know, they generally like to keep, like, $5, $6 million there just for, like, mid-season acquisitions or anything like that.
Right. And it was very weird, too, because as of the time of recording, they still have not released the specific terms of the deal. The most we know is that he'll probably be getting about $4 million this year, but Buster only reported that it could be like a multi-year sort of thing with like options for 2022 that could bring the average annual value down to $2 to $3 million. So it's like little ticky-tacky ways that Cashman's working to try to operate in that limited threshold that they might be able to work a little bit more with. But yeah, you're right. Ultimately, it doesn't come down to that much of a difference. And they are definitely going to set like a nest egg aside for doing something at the trade deadline. Even if they don't, they'd rather have that in case of emergency. If like one of their starters goes down with like a season ending injury, then they can get a replacement.
Right.
And that's to say nothing of any possible Brett Gardner comeback, which is still probably in the offing, but I have no idea at this point.
That's actually exactly what I was going to bring up. Like, I've kind of figured whatever like change for the Yankees that they had left over, they would try to figure out a deal to bring out Brett Gardner. I'm still not convinced that he's not coming back, but for the first time this offseason or ever, like the last week or so, I started entertaining that that might be a real possibility.
Yeah, Jake talked about this briefly in his article that came out on the 16th, where he's saying that basically the longer and longer we're going without Brett Gardner on the team, the more it seems like it's possible that they will go into 2021 without Brett Gardner. And as I've said before, there's a defensible case to be made for both sides that like maybe the outfield death could use a Brett Gardner, even if he might end up playing a bit too much versus what they'd be without him, where if you lose some of these guys for too long, I would feel a little bit better about Brett Gardner taking that spot than like a Tauchman or a Greg Allen.
Oh, absolutely. And we talked about this last time too, like, if Brett Gardner plays 100, if there's a full 162 games, right? If he plays 120 games because Judge or Frazier or Hicks or whatever, some combination thereof got hurt and he was just forced into the lineup, fine. Like you said, it's better to have him than not have him. But if he's playing 120 games because of whatever veteran presence he brings and, you know, Clint Frazier's just sitting around, like, you know, riding the bench, then it's a problem. But right now, it seems like they're willing to ride with Clint Frazier, you know, obviously Judge. There's nobody's taking him out of the lineup and Hicks. So if they were to bring Gardner back, it does seem like they would really just have him as the true fourth outfielder, which I think would be a great move.
Actually, Judge strikes out too much. He should be benched.
Yes. Yeah, Aaron Judge, who are you?
Yeah, get out of here. Well, actually, the another signing that they made within the past week that is relevant to this conversation is bringing in Jay Bruce on a minor league deal with a spring training invitation, since that seems to be some Gardner insurance, and Bruce could even make the team anyway, just because he's the kind of good lefty bat that is pretty much always useful to have on your team as just a threat on the bench if he's productive. So he's not going to be the defensive outfield that Brett Gardner is by any means, but I would say he provides a bit more of a threat off the bench. So that is an option that the Yankees could choose to go to if they don't want to bring back Gardner.
Yeah, it was definitely like a solid move. Like you said, the Brett Gardner insurance, if they can't figure out a way to get to terms that they can both agree on or whatever, you have that and then you're not relying on Mike Tauchman to come and save you off the bench or anything like that, which is always good.
Right. Bruce even has a little bit of first base experience too. So that's another just small little bit of versatility that can't hurt if he does end up making the team. I don't think he's going to be exactly Mark Teixeira out there, but you know, if he can fake it and not do like the Alex Rodriguez first base experience, then I think we'll be good.
Yeah, it'll definitely give Aaron Boone some like ability to be creative with his, not necessarily his like everyday lineups, obviously. I mean, if Jay Bruce is playing every day, we have a bigger problem that we don't know about.
Yeah.
But, you know, whenever he brings him in as like a potential like a bat off the bench or whatever, he can, you know, maybe take Boyd out for, because if he's not coming back up in the lineup, and then let Bruce fill in at first. So it definitely gives him some room for creativity.
Yeah. And it's hard to find a minor league contract that is just absolutely terrible. So why
not? There's no such thing as a bad minor league contract, or even any, like, even if it's a major league contract for like the veterans minimum or whatever, I don't believe that there's a such thing as a bad one, unless it's like just a terrible human being. That's a different story.
Yeah, but most times it's hard to find a bad one-year deal in general. The only real exception I can think of that is like a Kevin Youkilis type of situation where the guy just immediately gets hurt and then he's like, okay, well, there is $10 million set on fire. Not that I'm mourning for Hal, but...
Right. Like, even when they brought in, like, Kendrys Morales and he was just bad, I was just like, whatever, who cares?
Yeah. It's like you were just occupying space for a little bit. Was that the year that Voight came up, or was that the year after?
I have no idea.
It all sort of blends together.
Yeah, I'm so bad at, like, specific years. Well, the other day in our Pinstripe Valley Slack, I was like, if Gardner doesn't come back, is Gary Sanchez technically the longest tenured Yankee? Which I think I still had a reasonable case for, because he did technically come up for like an hour and a half in 2015. I forgot about Luis Severino.
Yeah, Severino came up a little bit before Gary, but yeah, Gary has been around just a long time too.
Exactly.
Okay, by the way, just to settle this, so Kendrys Morales came up in 2019, and that was Luke Voit had been spending some time on the disabled list here and there, so that played a little bit into it. But I think that was also around when, like, Stanton was, like, hurt the entire season too, so they were trying to find some more help at DH, and they did not find that in Kendrys Morales, but ultimately...
No, not at all.
Whatever.
Was that also the same year they had Encarnacion? Was that Kendrys Morales farewell, so then they brought in Edwin Encarnacion?
I think Edwin was also 2019, yeah.
That was a good bring-in.
Yeah, he was really good in that second half there, then just did absolutely nothing in the playoffs, and that was a little disappointing.
Right. I don't think good bring-in is an expression, and I just said that. But I'm going to go with it. It's a good bring-in.
Good bring-in. Yeah, there you go.
Yes.
Hopefully the Yankees get some good bring-ins this spring.
Yeah. Always love me a good bring-in.
Yeah, so anyway, away from Kendry's chat, which apparently is what the show is, come to Pinstripe Valley Podcast for your hottest Greg Allen and Kendrys Morales takes.
Exactly. That's what Tom Hanks is listening for.
Oh, yeah. Oh, by the way, Tom Hanks, here's another shout out. Robinson Chirinos.
That's a good bring in.
Yeah, there you go.
Gary Sanchez's time with the team is up. They brought in Robinson Chirinos.
No! It's over. Cool. It's funny, I saw the news come across yesterday that Chirinos had signed on this minor league contract, and I was like, huh, I mean, I guess that makes sense. I'm surprised that he settled for that. Then I actually looked at his 2020, and good God, it's bad numbers. Obviously, it was, again, fake season, 2 months, whatever, but he just did not hit anything.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I even care. He's such a non-factor of a signing. It's literally just like injury insurance. Like, they need to have somebody who's played in at least AAA, which outside of Gary and Higashioka, I don't think they had that until they brought in Chirinos.
I looked into this yesterday. The only other guy that they have in their organization was Rob Brantley, who they got from the Giants. Giants last year, and he has played 2 major league games in the past 4 years, I think. So he's not really an option. So that's why
I apologize to Rob Brantley's family, who's definitely listening to this, but that's not a real person.
Yes, Rob Brantley.
But at least Robinson Chirinos comes in, and he's officially my second. He's number two on the Robinson C's that played for the Yankees.
I think I had an exact tweet like that on Monday.
Really?
So yeah, it's like, yeah, the congrats, it's like hashtag congrats to Robinson Chirinos on being my second favorite Robinson C. Clearly,
it's really a tough competition. So
yeah, very tight. Yeah, he exists just to provide depth. Hopefully Higgy and Gary don't get hurt, that we don't have to really worry about him existing, and maybe he won't even be around at the end of March. So
right, yeah. I think we spent more time talking about him than we probably need to.
I think we spent more time talking about him than Brian Cashman did, honestly. He was probably like, oh, crap, pitchers and catchers tomorrow. We need another catcher. Robinson Chirinos? Yeah, sure. Get him in here.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. But I guess the only other major move, which is not really a Yankees move, but an official farewell, that James Paxton is going back to the Mariners. So we never really thought that he was going to come back to the Yankees at this point, but that cemented it. And I think I'm glad that he's going back to Seattle. Seemed like that was a really good fit for him originally. And, you know, I like James Paxton as a Yankee. Obviously, the 2020 was a bummer, but 2020 was a bummer in a lot of ways, so why not add some Paxton injuries on top of that?
I'm sorry, is it just that he's injury prone, or can he not handle New York? What did we land on as a New York Yankees fan base for him?
I think they ultimately came down on the injury prone, just because he did pitch well in that one playoff game against the Astros.
No, but I definitely like James Paxton. I was excited when they traded for him. Like, I thought it was a good, solid move. Obviously, yeah, I think you, me, everyone, Paxton himself probably wishes it worked out better, but you can't really control injuries or anything like that. So, you know, hopefully he can go back to Seattle, a place where he obviously was comfortable, he obviously liked it there, and, you know, can just kind of come back to himself.
Yeah, exactly.
No ill wishes here.
Yeah. And it is kind of funny that, you know, now he's in the same rotation as Justus Sheffield. So the Mariners have both pieces from that trade, basically. And the Yankees have not much, but.
And they still won't make the playoffs.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? They have some prospects coming soon, maybe.
I mean, if they couldn't make the playoffs in 2020 when like 75 teams made the playoffs, you got a problem there.
Yeah. I saw a good tweet the other day that was saying like James Paxton was drafted, came up and was traded and then was reacquired as all part of the same Mariners rebuild, basically. Yes. He has gone through it all at this point.
Man, that must be awful. But I guess Seattle's a nice place, so like, whatever.
Yeah, could do a lot worse, you know. I'd rather hang around Seattle than Anaheim, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. Poor Mike Trout.
So you get to hang out with Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout there. So.
That's true. Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know how much fun hanging out with Mike Trout is. I don't think he'd be bad. I think he'd just be like, okay.
Okay, right now, he'd be very fun to hang out with.
Oh, talking about the weather. Yeah, for sure.
Yes, exactly.
The weather has been kind of crazy.
And Mike Trout is the foremost expert on this. So he'd be a great hang right now.
Yeah, you know that boring small talk that you always do about like, oh, well, here's the weather where I am right now. Mike Trout could turn that into an hour-long conversation.
Yes.
Mike Trout, come on the podcast and talk about weather.
We know you're listening.
Yes. Yeah. So Paxton, Seattle, good luck, I guess. I mean, I'm glad it wasn't to like the Rays or something because that would have been annoying. But
oh yeah, anytime the Rays just sign anybody, I get mad. Or
yeah,
but then again, that happens like once a decade, so it's you don't get mad that often.
Yeah, and like no matter who they sign, there's always like this feeling in the back of your mind. Well, like, oh, maybe they could do something with him. Like if the Kansas City Royals had signed Chris Archer and Michael Wacha in the offseason, we would have been like, lol. But
yeah,
since the Rays are doing it, be like, well, who knows.
Yeah, and that's the most annoying thing. Like they're going to be touted as this great organization because they traded away Blake Snell and then brought in Chris Archer and Michael Wacha, somehow used their Rays voodoo magic that I guess they borrowed from the Cardinals voodoo magic, whatever it is, to like get them to perform well again. Everyone's like, oh my God, see what a great organization this is. Like, no.
Yeah, it's like there's a whole different thing beyond, you can sort of respect what they do, but like the coaching staff and the people down on the field do to make these pitchers become really great, while also being like, the organization should not have to operate this way.
Right. Yeah. No, there's definitely very talented people in this organization. Like they do very good work. Nobody's even coming close to denying that. But outside of that, I mean, you can't praise the organization for what they're doing.
Yeah. You look at what like Andrew Friedman has done since going over from the Rays to the Dodgers, that like now that he actually has some money to work with, he uses it pretty well, honestly. And then like you'll go out, make the big blockbuster deal for Mookie Betts, sign him to a 10-year extension or whatever, and bring in all these other free agents if they make a good fit. And good congratulations to the Dodgers on actually trying, I guess.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I forgot that. Wait, did Felix Hernandez go to the Orioles? Is that a thing?
Yes, Felix Hernandez and Matt Harvey
are
on the Orioles.
I was looking up Matt Harvey because I was just like, hey, I think he just went there. And that's like typical. That was like related to like if the Royals had signed Chris Archer, you would just be laughing about it. Like, yeah. But as soon as I saw that Matt Harvey had signed with the Orioles, I just was like, RIP his career that I thought was already dead. But I guess it's just double dying now.
Did you know that Matt Harvey was on the Royals last year?
No, you could like. No, I would have named 35 other major league teams. Like before, I would have said he was on the Expos before I would have thought he was on the Royals.
Yeah, he just showed up, pitched 7 games. Try to guess his ERA.
7.36.
Higher.
Jeez. 13.12.
11.57.
I gotta meet me in the middle here. Yeah.
So he pitched 11 and two thirds innings, gave up 27 hits.
Wow.
That's a hit per nine of 20.8 and a home run per nine of 4.6.
Good. What happened to him? He just died.
Yeah. Well, he had that, what did he have? He had that bad rib injury, I think, with the
right.
He had the thoracic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need to actually look up what I'm talking about, because I'm just saying random medical words.
Thoracic outlet syndrome or something.
There you go. Listen to the brain over here. Got it.
Oh my God, I had it right.
Thoracic outlet syndrome or surgery or whatever.
Yeah. And then I remember there was one thing like the year after they made the World Series where like he had to take a really bad piss or something. That was a thing too.
Yeah, I don't remember that, but
like I don't remember if those two were related, but like in my mind they're related. Like his rib injury made him really have to go to the bathroom, so he was bad, and then his career just downwards.
Oh man, I've heard of pissing your career away, but man,
hey,
we got jokes. Anyway,
so this has been a Matt Harvey podcast.
Congrats to the Orioles on Matt Harvey, I guess. Man, what
it's
is that
be
team?
So sad. Like, I will laugh when like Glaber and Judge destroy Matt Harvey just because I think it'd be funny, but like I will actually be sad when they do that to Felix.
Oh yeah, no, it's like, man, I respect anyone who wants to play as long as they really want to, but man, Felix at this point in his career in Camden Yards is such a bad combination.
Yeah. I mean, power to him. If he can go there, pitch well, revive his career, great. Because he's not that old. I mean, he's going to be 30. He's 34. Yeah.
He'll be 35 in April. But yeah. April. It's one of those things, though, that because he came up when he was 19, he's been in the league 15 years, and that's not even including 2020 since he opted out.
Right.
Otherwise, he's going to be on the Braves, which is kind of funny too. But
yeah, anything that's just him not in the Mariners uniform is just weird.
Yeah, we're both Devils fans, so it'll be sort of like the Martin Brodeur St. Louis Blues experience that is basically never spoken of.
Those seven games, like, what did you get out of this, Marty?
I guess he got that. He was working their front office for a couple of years there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's back in the Devils front office now. And yeah. This has been the All About the Jersey podcast, I guess.
Yeah. Yes, of course. Well, maybe Felix Hernandez is trying to become the new Orioles pitching coach, which Godspeed.
Good luck, man. Good luck. just throw up four fingers whenever Glaber's at bat.
Yeah.
That's what a good pitching coach would tell you.
That makes me kind of bummed because it reminds me that Gary Thorne's not going to be back with the Orioles for 2021, so we won't get more of his reactions for Glaber.
In my mind, I like to think that they just got mad or upset about how upset he got. That's why he's not back with them.
Yeah, it's like you're embarrassing.
I like to make up my own versions of things that happen because, well, I don't care enough to find out the real version because it's just generally not fun for me. So. This is why Matt Harvey pissed away his career. Gary Thornton just got too excited about Glaber, and they were just like, yeah, nope, done, you're out.
Perfect.
Gary Thornton, when you listen to this, please let us know if I'm right or wrong.
Yes, you can reach him again by tweeting at I'm not a HR hitter.
Exactly.
I guess before we wrap up, we should talk a little bit about how we're annoyed with the MLB rules staying mostly the same for 2021 with the 7-inning doubleheaders.
You mean the health and safety rules that have nothing to do with health and safety at all?
Oh, yes. You know, it's saves so much by, you know, having 7-inning doubleheaders.
I, too, like to just make up game lengths and random rules in overtime, and that's going to keep you safe. Meanwhile, like, vaccines, if you want them, I guess.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of a hard thing, too, since that's something that the player has agreed to, basically, that they didn't want to have to all have vaccines or something like that. But
yeah, it's hard to, like, get completely mad at Major League Baseball. Baseball? I don't know what baseball is, but it's hard to get completely mad at MLB because, like, the Players Association does agree to this stuff. But, God, it's just – it has nothing to do with health and – like, all these reporters are like, oh, the two sides have agreed to health and safety protocols. First thing up, 7-inning doubleheaders. All right.
Yeah, like,
are we gonna get to the health and safety now? Like,
the most we're doing here seems to just be like, well, if we have to cancel a whole bunch of games due to COVID, we can cram some more into the schedule using these 7-inning doubleheaders. But to me, the better solution would be to say, well, we don't necessarily have to replay those games if it doesn't work out. Obviously, you try to reschedule it, but you don't need to do these 7-inning fake baseball game doubleheaders.
Yeah, and like, let's just say like a game between like the Royals and the Orioles gets canceled. Like, who cares? Literally, who cares? Find me one person who cares. I don't even think the Orioles or the Royals care.
Yeah, probably not. Maybe Matt Harvey cares. I don't know.
Maybe Matt Harvey cares. He wants to get revenge on his former team.
Royals legend, Matt Harvey.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll be remembered for that.
Yeah, and the extra inning rule too. Like that one, like I can actually get just a little bit more, but I'm still not a huge fan. And I the thing I'm most worried about is just like, we're going to be doing this now for 2 years in a row. It's going to be hard to stop the train really and get them to not do it if there is a real season in 2022, you know?
Well, that's the whole thing is like, even like the 7-inning doubleheaders and like this extra inning, like, I'd be less upset about, like, honestly, I don't know that I care that much one way or the other. I mean, like, I don't mind if like, you know, people like things like sports do weird things just to like wrap up like regular season games or whatever. Like in the NHL, like they'll eventually go to a shootout in the regular season after, if nobody scores in overtime, but then in the playoffs, they let them play out in overtime. They don't do the shootout and stuff. So I'd like to see something like that, where like, if you're going to do the stupid runner on second thing, like that, if you want to do that in the regular season, fine, who cares? But like don't let that happen in the playoffs.
Yeah. And at least they seem to avoid that last postseason, yeah. I think, though I didn't really think too many games really went into extras anyway, but
this stuff didn't come up as because of COVID or like they just got accelerated because of COVID and the whole pandemic. Like this is stuff that they've been wanting to put in for years for God knows what reason, but it's not like 2020 was the first we've heard of a runner on second and extra innings. No, they've been working on it in the minor. So they just use this pandemic to push their agenda forward.
Yeah.
That's what I think annoys me more than anything else than the fact that they're actually doing it.
Yeah, and I didn't really mind it in the minors because, like, I know minor league baseball is a very long storied tradition, but those are the type of games that, yeah, you can end those a little bit early if you need to, just because I don't think anyone really needs to see position player pitching in the 14th inning of, like, I don't know, Reading against Syracuse or whatever.
Are those even still teams anymore? I don't remember because they just released a new affiliation.
I'm pretty sure they are, but yeah, that's another whole bag of worms to get into with the whole minor league restructuring and purchasing, and I don't really know what exactly they're doing there, but you know, Godspeed, I guess.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I don't get the full logistics of it, but I'm just gonna assume it's not good.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of like,
I mean,
a whole bunch of teams got culled, which is a real bummer for all those communities and stuff. It's annoying that the Trenton Thunder had to settle for being in this MLB draft league with like amateur players because they don't have a real minor league this year. Right. Staten Island, I don't think is playing at all. So
maybe they'll finally go to be the Pizza Rats if they do come back instead of being the Staten Island Yankees.
Yeah, they're just going to be scrimmaging throughout 2021 and as themselves as the Pizza Rats.
Themselves. That was such a stupid whole naming fiasco too when they did that a couple years ago. Oh my god, we're gonna choose a name, and then all the names were extremely dumb, so they're like, well, I'll just stay the Staten Island Yankees. Like, okay,
yeah, cool. Well, we tried.
That was a fun 10 minutes, I guess.
Yeah, it's going to take my brain a little bit to calibrate to the fact that AA is Somerset now, High A is Hudson Valley, you know?
Yeah.
The Yankees have operated with the same minor league structure now for quite some time, so it's definitely like recalibration going on.
Absolutely. It's even like the Tampa changing their name to the Tarpons, that took a while to get used to, and I don't think I'm still fully used to it because I had to think about it, what their new name was.
Yeah, and they're now the low A team.
Yeah, but I'm sure eventually we'll get there, wherever there is, we'll get there.
Yeah, and it's still kind of weird too because they haven't really announced when all these minor leagues are starting. Like, it seems like AAA will start in April, then AA will be like May, and then the rest will probably be like June, but that's not announced yet, which I guess why should we be surprised by this?
Right. I hope that they're spending this extra time to figure it out, to like rename the actual divisions, because right now it's like AAA West, Southeast, North, High, Left, Right division.
Yes.
Like, okay.
Well, I think what they're going to do is they're trying to get branding on it, which I guess would be better than calling like it the Northwest East. But I mean, it's also just like, okay, great.
I mean, no matter what, it's going to be bad, but I think it has to. I mean, I guess it doesn't have to, but I'm hoping it's better than Northeast, Southwest, Left, Right division.
Guaranteed rate division.
Yes, there we go.
Or how they renamed Miller Park, something terrible, like American Family Insurance.
When did that happen?
I think just this past offseason.
Oh, that's rude.
Yeah, that was one of those ones that, like, even though like Miller is technically a sponsor too, it just matched Milwaukee so perfectly that
they're
it made
the
sense.
Brewers, yeah, it
exactly
makes sense here.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, Busch Stadium. Budweiser's right there, so it's fine. Right.
Yeah, you like, wow, yeah, that's dumb.
Yeah, American Family Insurance Field.
Sure. We love it. That's where I'm going tonight.
Or American Family Field. There you go. Isn't it great? I would be so annoyed if I was a Brewers fan, but whatever.
Like, we had this great name that worked, or no, we don't.
We got to get the sponsors, you know? Otherwise, how else are they going to afford? I can't think of a free agent they've signed this whole offseason.
I don't know that I can name a player on their team.
Christian Yelich, come on.
Oh, done. For some reason, I just assumed he was gone. I don't know. Like,
No. I think he signed an extension there to be there for a while, so.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. That's on me.
Okay, excuse me. They did sign a free agent. They signed Colton Wong.
Sure.
Yeah. So, this has been Brewers Beat. Anyway, well, I think that'll about do it for us. I think we will end the podcast with the storied PSA tradition that we neglected the last time we recorded because we suck. The Yankee and the Mitre of the Week.
Yay!
Bringing back the car horn.
Woo!
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll do it Yankee and Mitre of the offseason, maybe. I don't know. That seems like a good way to sort of encompass everything, since otherwise you'd be like, I don't know. Congrats to Robinson Chirinos.
Yankee of the week. Why not?
So, Yankee of the offseason, who are you going with?
I'm going to go with CC Sabathia. I know he's retired, but he's a Yankee forever. And,
yeah,
you know, his documentary came out on HBO Max that just kind
of was great.
You
know, yeah.
Went through his life and his struggles and everything. And it was just fantastic. So, I'm going to give him my Yankee of the offseason because why the hell not?
I think that is a great pick, honestly. I really enjoyed that documentary. And
it was so good.
He's such a vocal dude about getting his voices out there, lifting up other voices, and just one of the few extremely good dudes in baseball, I think.
Really, and he's definitely like just, you know, like if you listen to his podcast or anything, he's just easy to listen to. Like, seems like he genuinely enjoys what he's talking about. He's very interested in baseball, the history, and even like, you know, like just music, pop culture, everything. Like, he's just very relatable, and I love that. I love seeing, you know, his family honor, his family tradition of their pictures every Halloween, just like what they dress up as and everything. It's hard not to root for the guy.
Yeah, it's one of those things where at this point in his life, you know that he's not going to be doing anything unless he really wants to be doing something.
And I really just respect just being able to be like, yeah, I don't need to do this, so I'm just going to do whatever the hell I want and just have fun. And you could tell, like, he's just having fun with it.
I'm just going to be a podcaster. Why not?
Yeah. And R2C2. What a great name.
Yeah, exactly. Good work by Ruco and Sabathia. Ruco, we need more Ruco on the guest broadcast, too. He's always great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So who's your Yankee of the offseason?
My Yankee of the offseason is going to be DJ LeMahieu because my man got paid and good for him.
Yeah, absolutely. I
mean, simple enough, you know, and he's been the best player the last 2 years on the Yankees and he made sure that he got his money and he's going to be in pinstripes for a while. And I think he's going to be the kind of player that he might not ever hit as well as he has in the past 2 years again, but he's still probably going to age pretty well, I think.
I think so, too. And like, even if he's not exactly what you said, like, you know, the MVP caliber player that he has been the last two seasons, the Yankees got a great deal on him. So even if they're like, if you consider that they're overpaying a little bit now, it probably just all evens out because of how much they probably underpaid him the last 2 years.
Right. And even like it toward the end of this contract, I doubt that he's going to be hitting anywhere close to what he used to. But he has the versatility to be a good bench bat, too, at the end of his contract. And really, I mean, that's pretty good. So.
The funny thing about DJ LeMahieu, though, is after the Rockies traded Arenado, whatever, like their owner had that weird freaking speech or whatever, the press conference that he gave. And one of the things I think he brought up was how he, like, one of the mistakes he made was letting DJ LeMahieu walk 2 years ago. And, like, you know, you could have brought him back this offseason, right?
Yeah, he was around, you know?
Throwing it out there. It's like, what was it when... was it the Mets? They wanted that one. It was like, oh, we want this type of.
Oh, we want an Addison Reed type.
Yeah, we want an Addison Reed type. You know he's a free agent, right? You can just sign Addison Reed.
Ah, but if only.
What is logic?
It's like the Red Sox trying to, you know, find a new prospect who can be like Mookie Betts.
Right. Like, oh, Verdugo may be good one day. Like, all right, yeah, but he's not going to be this.
Yeah.
DJ's a good pick for the Yankee at the offseason. I mean, the dude got what he deserves. So
yeah,
always root for that.
Who are you going for, Mitre, the offseason?
some combination of Hal Steinbrenner, Brian Cashman, and whoever decided to let Masahiro Tanaka walk away.
Yeah, I think that
unless it was just purely his decision.
Now, I feel like if the Yankees had made like a serious pursuit of Tanaka, he probably would have ended up staying. I mean, we can't speak to him personally. I will say, no. Even in our fanfic, I do not think Masahiro Tanaka listens to our podcast.
No, he does. He listens.
Oh, good.
Don't worry about it.
Tanaka, we love you.
No, but like in his introductory press conference, I mean, I think when he was there for Rakuten, and he basically said like, hey, the Yankees were my first choice, but when they didn't show any interest, I was like, let's see what else. That's when I really started thinking about coming home. Like, okay, I think he would have stayed if they made like a real respectable, like not lowball bullshit offer to him. Mm-hmm. But also they can make it up to me by bringing back David Robertson, who's around, and they just attended a workout of it. So
yeah, cool. that's still out there. And he's another circling back to Justin Wilson too. He's another guy who could sign in. He's probably going to have to sign a minor league contract anyway. So maybe you get him in. If he looks good in spring training, then you carry him. And then that's just another good reliever to have around.
Yeah, exactly. If he can come back to I don't think he's going to come back to what he was in 2018 or whatever, like, you know, being that kind of guy, but he's not a bad guy to have around if he's healthy and can pitch.
Yeah. So
who's your Mitre of the offseason?
I think my Mitre of the offseason is Domingo Germán. I don't like him. I don't like Domingo Germán. And also he pitched in the Winter League and looked like crap. So I don't really think he really needs necessarily a spot on this team. He might end up in the bullpen. I don't think he's going to end up in one of the rotation spots, but
he won 18 games that one time.
Yeah. With all the run support. Congratulations, Domingo.
Like dude had like a nine, like not a nine, but like I think he had like a 5 ERA or close to a 5 ERA, like four something,
whatever. Like, 4.03, but yeah.
It's close to a five if you round up to fives. Yeah.
But he did not pitch like an 18 game winner. We'll say that.
No,
much.
He didn't. Yeah. It was just like wins are stupid regardless. I mean, this has just been a long storied conversation. I think wins are dumb because they have like the pitcher has no relevance to whether or not they win or lose. Obviously, yeah, he can lose the game for them, but like how many wins does Jacob deGrom get a year? Like, dude has like one run in 9 innings and he still takes a loss.
Yeah, I just looked this up. The most wins Jacob deGrom has ever gotten in the season is 15. And no, Domingo Germán has never been better than Jacob deGrom.
No. He's better. He's better. He's got three more wins.
Ah, yes, of course.
That's worth three WAR, right? That's how it works.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I want to read the Domingo Germán stat line for the Dominican Winter League. In five starts, he had a 7.16 ERA and walked 5/9. So great.
Is that bad?
Seems bad. I don't think this guy needs to be on the team.
But, and I'm not ready for the people who are like rooting for him or standing for him. Like, no, shut up.
Not worth it.
Nope. He can go away.
Well, we'll see what happens in spring training. Hopefully the next time we record, we'll have a little bit more of an idea of what's going on in the spring. Hopefully no one will have broken themselves within the first week like Severino did last year. So,
I mean, at this point, you just have to expect it. Something's going to happen. We know some big injuries coming out. You don't want it to, but it's going to happen.
Yeah. Hopefully it's just like minimal type thing, but that's why like Robinson Chirinos is around.
Like, I don't know if I trust the Yankees to like manage injuries properly, but let's see.
Yeah.
Judge and Stanton are doing yoga now, so maybe that'll help.
Yes. Yes. All right. Well, I think that'll do it for us, unless you have anything else.
No, I think that's it. Right. Go Yankees, go baseball.
Woo. All right, go Yankees, go baseball. You can follow me on Twitter at MernsPSA. You can follow Kunj on Twitter at I'm not a HR hitter, which is definitely totally Kunj.
It's definitely me.
And follow Pinstripe Alley just at Pinstripe Alley. We have tweets sometimes that are not terrible, maybe. Well, you can't take his word for it because he's not on Twitter. So.
Exactly.
All right. All right. Well, see you in spring training. Bye.
Sounds good. Bye.